listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping things up here on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hope everybody is enjoying the holiday. We got some sound bites from yesterday's game. Start with quarterback Russell Wilson, who was dreadful until the end when he was brilliant.
Having four turnovers by me, you know, that's tough. And but at the same time, I just never doubted in our guys, you know. And I think that when I hit that touchdown, funny thing is I told Bev on the sideline right when we won the coin toss, I said, hey, I'm going to hit Kurse for a touchdown.
Yeah, isn't it just so easy to just imagine those things out? But to touch on that really quickly is I will say all the greats in sports always – in some cases have a dream or a thought, or in some cases have a great way of scripting out their success ahead of time and then go out in their realm, whether it be basketball, hockey, investing, in this case, football, quarterbacking, playing out their dream or thought. And it's just a way of, you know, kind of building yourself up, visualizing it, and just building yourself up full of confidence and good things happening. And then in some cases, because you're so talented and because you're prepared, it happens right in front of you. And you heard Russell Wilson talk about it.
You did. And he said that he knew he was going to Kurse. Amazing thing. Russell Wilson threw five passes to Jermaine Kurse yesterday. Four of them resulted in interceptions, the first four. And the final one resulted in the game-winning touchdown. And one of the guys at Pro Football Focus, Mike Clay, tweeted out that the record for most targeted interceptions to a receiver in a season is seven, and he threw four on targets to Jermaine Kurse in one game, which is pretty remarkable.
It is. So,
that's pretty wild. All right, let's hear from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy.
Oh, I have no regrets. I don't regret anything. Hell, I expected to win the game. We were positioned to win the game, but that's football. We had opportunities to get that thing done, and we came up a little short. But this is an excellent football team I had the privilege of coaching this year, and that ain't going to change. I mean, it'll never change. But, hey, one team moves on. But I'm very proud of the way our team played, the way they prepared, fully expected to win this game today. And hey, we had our chance.
They did have their chance.
Yeah, I feel like you got to be. I would feel like you got to have some regrets. You got to have some regrets about the way you played at the end. You didn't go for the juggler. You didn't have that killer instinct. You didn't step on their throat when you could have. The game could have been over.
And especially because the attacks are on the offense, and even some of the comments by Aaron Rodgers, those directly reflect on Mike McCarthy as the head coach, because he's not only the head coach, he's the offensive play caller.
Do you think it's tough to have that killer? Like, is Mike McCarthy a guy who has that killer instinct? You see an emotional guy like Pete Carroll, and you know he's got the killer instinct. You know Bill Belichick, who's just like an assassin, has the killer instinct. You played for him.
I don't. I think that if I were to say Mike McCarthy is likes to play it safer. You know, he has confidence in his players, don't get me wrong. But I think he has confidence in his offense, some confidence in his defense, because that defense has been hot and cold all year, and yeah, it has been under Dom Capers. They were playing brilliantly. And I think in some cases, the thing that nipped him in his butt is their special teams, and I think that's where it has kind of always seemed to waver for me, knowing Mike McCarthy. And for that reason, he will always play the safer out, maybe why they kicked the field goals early, you know, maybe why they didn't go for it.
I think you got to go for it. What's the worst thing? You got them backed up inside their own one.
Exactly. And I mean, I thought that they were confident in their ability to stop Marshawn Lynch. They were penetrating. They were getting, you know, tacklers on him. You know, the beast just kind of came out later in the football game.
Absolutely. Well, he came out later in the football game. Then all of a sudden, Tremont Williams gets burned by Kurse, and good night, Irene. That one was over. Aaron Rodgers, though, talking about that, what you said, playing not to lose, maybe a little too conservative.
Had some chances late to do some things and didn't do it. Go back and think about it. I think, at times there was we weren't playing, you know, we weren't playing as aggressive as we usually are.
Yeah, they're usually a step on, like, put the pedal to the metal. I mean, I know from just fantasy football, there'd be games where it was over and Aaron Rodgers still going out there throwing the ball around the yard. And I know he was a little bit banged up, but what surprised me was on that critical third down where he tried Rodney Rodgers one-on-one on the linebacker to the bottom, he had trips up top with Sherman with that banged up arm, and Sherman was kind of holding his arm in there, which I don't know if that was theatrics or what, but that's what he was doing. To me, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm as good as he is and I know my season's on the line, I know you're supposed to go to the guy that's open, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to try to find Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb coming out of that bunch formation.
Most definitely, and I think that that's what he had done all year, and he might have outthought himself in that situation. And then also, too, just as good as Aaron Rodgers played, he didn't play great. And a lot of that has to do with Seattle's defense and how great they are. But there were so many times where I thought Aaron had such a quick trigger to get the ball out of his hands on some of those backside slants that you saw Randall Cobb fall down, that if it's a better thrown ball, touchdown. He maybe catches it and even extends the ball for the touchdown or extends the ball and gets the first down where he fell down 2 yards short. You have to punt the ball or take the field goal at that point. So, an intimidating defense that plays so well and is so resilient makes it very tough on you as a quarterback. And that, I think, along with the calf, played into his mind as the game went on.
Certainly did. Exciting championship Sunday, at least the first game. The second one, just absolute dominance from Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, LeGarrette Blunt. What a remarkable season he has had.
It is the year of the heavy running backs, because you look at LeGarrette Blunt, he's not much to look at. You look at Eddie Lacy. Not too much to look at. You look at DeMarco Murray and you're like this like skinny, like, you know, thing who's yoked out of his mind.
And he was pretty good.
But then he's like, you've got these big backs that are kind of all weather as the season goes on.
Certainly was. And then you've got the beast mode right there.
They do.
Marshawn Lynch. All right. Thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying your holiday. Be safe, be happy, be healthy out there. Got to thank Jim Donovan for being with us, the voice of the Cleveland Browns. We'll be back tomorrow. Right here on ESPN 850 WKNR when everybody returns to work in Berea. You don't know if anything will happen with Judge versus Jones, but we'll have to find out when we come back manana.
And only one more day till hump day with KJ, right?
Yeah, right. I don't think so. For Jason Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Forward.
See you.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.